Blog Talk Radio.
That's what I thought. Leroy only from Plato.
No time for goodbye, he said, as he faded away. Don't put your life in someone's hands, they're bound to steal it away. Don't hide your mistakes, cause they'll find you.
I forget how much I love this song until I hear it.
I know. I'm going to have to listen to the whole version later because, God, I love it.
Those of you new to our podcast, first, let me welcome you to Lunch with Ginger and Corey. Secondly, that is the music from Left 4 Dead, Get Out Alive, Leroy Jenkins being eaten by a zombie. I think it's a tank.
Play me some of that in a little bit.
It feels like one of those days where I want to play the multiplayer. I feel like being the tank. That's what I feel like being. Just slam somebody into the wall. Just shut up. Quit telling your buddy to bring you a sandwich. Bam!
Well, it's all cold and dreary outside, and I'm just like, I don't want to do anything.
Good morning. Good morning, Horace. He's like, let's go. Let's do this. Let's go.
Good morning, Horace.
Ooh, y'all would not believe the news that we have this morning, and my first news story, and where I got it from is even more amazing to me. And
that is so awesome, though.
What went on? Man, I love it.
Oh, so, are you going to go first?
No, you are.
All right. Well, anything I start off with is going to totally get trumped by hers. All right. So, just because this one makes me laugh. Don't run with a plasma sword on iOS is featured and free for a limited time only. Yes, I said free. All right, so in collaboration with popular games and app portal Daily App Dream, which I told you all about, probably a year ago now. If you're not going there daily, you need to. They did a Canadian-based developer, Experimentals, has launched a promotion in which they offer their visually stunning and highly addicting runner, Don't Run with a Plasma Sword, for free for limited time only. All right, so the game is compatible with the Apple iPhone, the Apple iPod Touch, and the Apple iPad. Recently, we are 3 minutes in and I'm tripping over the word. Recently, Don't Run with a Plasma Sword has been well received by critics and players alike. The game distinguishes itself by offering an astounding package, a story mode, and an endless mode, four highly unique gameplay environments, a retro sci-fi style, RPG elements, boss fights, comics, and plenty of humor. To celebrate the recent launch and success of Don't Run with a Plasma Sword, the developer is launching a special event currently scheduled to last 1 week. Based on the amount of downloads generated by the promotion, at 100,000 downloads, the game will remain free for a minimal period of 1 month. At 150K downloads, an additional game mode will be developed on top of the already planned schedule of updates. At 200,000 downloads, yet another game mode will be added. Existing as well as new fans of the game are encouraged to visit the developer's website to participate and vote for their preferred choices. So, if you want to know more about this game, Don't Run with a Plasma Sword. It does sound kind of funny. Head over to GameMatrix.com this morning. I have it up for you. Yes, I do. And even a YouTube video. So, yes, go check it out.
Well, Horace is saying, don't hide your mistakes so they'll find you. Burn you from the song. It's the best line ever. Also, very befitting of what's going on today. Also, I just had to post I got one better. You've seen Hackers, right? Yes.
Uh-huh.
You guys remember the scene between, I can't remember the actors' names, but we'll call them by their names, Serial Killer and Lord Knight, because I can't remember their real names. It says that we snoop onto them as they snoop onto us. Yeah. Now let me get, now that I've set this up. So apparently yesterday or sometime during the week, the FBI decided to have a conference call about Anonymous.
Man, ouch.
This conference call mainly took place between the FBI and Scotland Yard and was recorded by Anonymous. The group released a roughly 15-minute long recording of what appears to be a January 17th conference call devoted to tracking and prosecuting members of the Loose-Knit Hacking Group. The authenticity of the recording could not be immediately verified, and it's unclear how it was even obtained. Names of some of the suspects being discussed were edited from the recording, so you won't hear their names. The information was illegally obtained, and a criminal investigation is underway, said the FBI spokesman Tim Flannelly. And now let me tell you where this comes from. FoxNews.com and via my cell phone.
Wow.
Anonymous also published – oh, I'm sorry. Flannelly did not provide any other additional details, and Anonymous also published an email purportedly sent by the FBI, which gave details and a password on how to access the call. He says they're saying the FBI might be curious how we're able to continuously read their internal comms for some time now. They gloated on Twitter. Amid the material published by Anonymous was a message purportedly sent by an FBI agent to international law enforcement agencies. It invites the foreign counterparts to join the call to discuss ongoing investigations related to Anonymous and other associated splinter groups. The email contained a phone number and password for accessing the call as well. The email is addressed to officials in the UK, Ireland, the Netherlands, Sweden, France. But only our government and the British people can be heard on the recording, the UK folk. Emails to the FBI agent and others coded in on the call were not immediately returned, but the discussion itself appears to be quite sensitive. We'll talk about what legal strategy to pursue in the cases of, and we're not going to say their names because it's all alleged, one. Two, this is Fox News. So did you just hear me say earlier, said the names were not released and suddenly they showed up in the story? So I'm not going to read them. You just said they weren't released. But these are two UK suspects that are linked to Anonymous, allegedly, and discuss the details of evidence gathered against other suspects. Karen Todner, a lawyer one of the guys said the recording could be incredibly sensitive and warned that such data breaches had the potential to derail the police's work. She said if they haven't secured their email, it could potentially prejudice the investigation. Anonymous is an amorphous collection of internet enthusiasts, pranksters, and activists. This is what Fox is calling them, whose targets have included the Church of Scientology, the music industry, and financial companies such as Visa and MasterCard. And let's leave out some other stuff they've done. All of us across the world, the group and its various offshoots have focused their attention on law enforcement in general, and in particular, the FBI. Did Ginger not tell y'all people at the FBI this was coming?
I said it. Nobody ever listens to me.
I got to say, I am laughing my most gorgeous posterior off.
She does have a most gorgeous posterior, too.
FBI people, this is the same thing we were talking about last night and yesterday and all week long. You all have focused your efforts on catching a hacking group. Now, honestly, they do menace a little bit, but and I'm not trying to sugarcoat anything they do. As you know, sometimes here we agree with them, sometimes we don't. But in all honesty, this is the new digital way to protest. This is what they're doing. This is no different than your sitting outside of, you know, a courthouse in the 60s or 50s or, you know, the 1800s, whenever you were born. But you have to recognize that this is what it is. And like the lawyer was saying, if you didn't secure your email, which I suspect they didn't, because we all know our government is so ass backwards.
Totally flipping backwards.
No clue how the internet works, how to secure things. You hire some people that are straight out of school. Nothing wrong with going, you know, straight to school, out of school, and they hired somebody to protect their internet. But the people that you need to be hiring are the people that are against you. They know some stuff that your people out of school don't know. It's that simple. Either offer them an obscene amount of money and say, come work for us, come be on our side, or learn how to secure your stuff. And I already knew they were watching them. How do you think you haven't been able to catch them all this time? It's because they're already watching you, just like you're watching them. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This fight is going to get interesting this year.
Get dirty is what it's going to get.
that was a little dirty. It's going to get seriously dirty.
Yes.
Seriously, horribly, wonderfully, beautifully dirty.
Mm-mm-mm. We'll be right there, right on the front lines, people.
Yes, with popcorn and all.
I got the butter.
All right. Since we're kind of already on the topic, I'm just going to keep going. GamePolitics.com this morning, White House declines comments on Chris Dodd investigation petition. Imagine that. All right. So the White House has finally responded to an online petition asking that the MPAA CEO and former Connecticut Senator Chris Dodd be investigated for his comments about giving money to lawmakers in return for favorable results. What they say, the industry is watching very carefully who's going to stand up for them when their job's at stake. This is what Dodd said. Dodd told Fox News on January 19th. Don't try to pitch you when you think your job's at risk, and then don't pay any attention to me when my job's at stake. This comment triggered widespread outrage on the internet and motivated 31,034 people to sign a petition on whitehouse.gov. But those 31,034 people will not be happy with the Obama administration's response. Basically, the White House said that it can't comment on it because it violates the we the people terms of participation clause. All right, so what'd they say? We say, thank you for signing this petition. We appreciate your participation in the We the People platform on whitehouse.gov. However, consistent with the We the People terms of participation and our responses to similar petitions in the past, the White House declines to comment on this petition because it requests a special law enforcement action.
All right. Yeah.
So on one hand, they're saying, you know, we just can't talk about it, but they're not telling us whether or not they're actually going to investigate him. And they're not going to either. I would love to say that they're going to, but I'm probably going to side with the doubters here and say nothing is going to happen.
I am seeing a class action lawsuit a-coming.
This is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know that somebody is paying for votes. This is illegal. This is so illegal. This is not even what we're based on. And, oh, my God, you're allowing it.
All right. I'm going to have to point this out to Blaster, because remember the argument we had last night about 40 Warhammer?
Uh-huh.
I had to sneeze there.
Bless you.
Late taking my stuff this morning. Claritin, people. Jeez, some of you. Anyway, THQ is saying the only way Warhammer 40K Dark Millennium is coming to the market is if they get a partner. Your Blaster needs help to make it happen. In a conference call to investors following the release of their third quarter results, CEO Ryan Farrell confirmed that the high costs of development are putting a burden on the project. This is while the game in development promises to be a high-quality consumer offering. Because of the large financial commitment and associated risk, we're being realistic about our resources, and we're actively seeking a partner for this compelling MMO. The game is slated for financial release 2014 and was first announced in 2007. Last month, it was suggested that it was up for sale, which is where it is still, until they find a partner, as the publisher struggles to keep itself afloat following this year's cuts. They did reveal yesterday that losses for their third quarter had grown into $56 million. Yes, pinky to the lips and everything. $56 million. Ouch. So, Blaster.
Sorry, Blaster.
We had done told you. Microsoft, why don't y'all step in and grab this? Please let EA have it. Please, good God.
Oh, no, come on. Why would you not want EA to have it?
Because you know EA is going to give it 2 days to make $80 million, and if it doesn't, they're going to pull it anyway. Then it'll be over at Gamers First. Gamers First is awesome. We don't give
it. They are. I got to spend some time over there, too, this weekend.
Yes, we do.
All right. Actually, this next story was still about THQ. Did you get the whole thing where they said they were wrong?
Yes, but you can share. We mentioned it last night, but you can actually read the story. We just kind of mentioned it last night.
All right. So it was during yesterday's conference call, which you just discussed, with investors. They said on our last call, we told you we anticipated that our third quarter would be the largest of our company's history. Unfortunately, we were wrong. All right, so, yeah, they go on to talk about that it's the disappointing performance of the U-Draw this holiday, continued weakness to kit licensing that they've now gotten rid of, totally overshadowed the successful releases of Saints Row the Third, WWE 12. Really? Who plays that? U-Draw hardware, software, hardware and software sales were approximately $100 million below their plan. Their casual titles were $25 million below. Yeah, so it looks like they're just saying, you know what, everything that we thought, we're wrong. Everything that we put our money in, is wrong. Whoever, you know, gave us this advice should be fired from the cannon into the sun.
Ginger!
What? Seriously?
They did not.
All right. They did not say that part. I said that. But yeah.
Well, the particular thing we mentioned last night that I am kind of sort of gloating about this morning is that U-Draw thing.
Mm-hmm.
Give it to Wii. It should have stayed on Wii.
Mm-hmm.
I said that in the discussion. I said it was not going to do well, and it came out a year and a half later. It either should have come out at the same time or not at all. You don't – and they focus. He's right. If they focused all their energy on it, more so than they did Saints Row – I think we saw marketing for Saints Row until like the very last minute, and it was so last minute that I remember going through contacts list, going, "Are we on their list? Or are they on ours?" Because we got nothing until like the week before it was coming out, like mm-hmm. that. And then at that point, I'm like, "I'm not putting this up. We don't have a line for our people to follow when they go to the site. You know, you can search on our site and pull up things about all your particular little favorite games. If, you know, they start giving us stuff from the beginning, we tend to post everything, and you can read and get all up to speed. There was nothing to get up to speed on. We don't know what you were doing. We had no developer diaries, no screenshots, nothing. Like, why?
We got nothing. Nothing.
There's no point. It's not going to help you now.
Nothing.
It's too late now. All right. Well, Apple's got a few Xboxes, something like that. I don't know. This is amazing to me. Okay, former Microsoft head of marketing, Robin Burrows, who led marketing and management of Xbox Live in Europe, has made the move to Apple.
Oh.
Mm. This explains why he stopped following us on Twitter, Robin.
That is not cool. You need to continue following us.
You follow us on Twitter over at Apple. Anyway, according to his LinkedIn profile, he stated the position last month, where he is now responsible for App Store marketing for iTunes Europe. Burrows joined the Xbox UK in February 2005, following time with MSN and HMV. At Microsoft, he was marketing manager for the console and was responsible for promotions, including Xtival Free Live Weekend and the Summer of Football campaign. This week, Apple also appointed former Dixon's CEO, John Browett, as senior vice president of retail. Tim Cook over at Apple is saying, "Our retail stores are all about customer service, and John shares that commitment like no one else we've met." And there's a job opening at Apple, you people at THQ, I mean at Microsoft, just so you know, in case you were looking for a new job, and I know some of you are.
Yeah, there are a lot of people looking for new jobs, especially with the whole THQ layoff.
I do want to mention this. Those of you who have old copies, and I'm saying this because we mentioned football, those of you who have old copies of Madden you want to get rid of, you better do it now. Isn't the Super Bowl this weekend?
Yeah.
Now, you may or may not get the deal, and I'm sorry I just remembered now to tell you, but remember we told you GameStop's policy of how you get the most out of your trade-in or buyback? Madden games, they buy them back for more money, supposedly the 1 to 2 weeks before the Super Bowl. So I don't know if today you'll get the big money, but it can't hurt to run down there and try.
Yeah.
And let Madden be dirty and old and it stop working and stuff. They don't want – don't try it. But if you got a good copy of a Madden, you're trying to get rid of it, you want another game, try it today. After today, it's too late. It's too late. Do not go down and – start saying, Tori said you would. I don't own GameStop, but I'm just telling you. Play and trade, I have no idea what they'll do. But you can ask them. I like them at play and trade. Play and trade, Houston! Woo!
Yay! All right, what do we got?
Wait a minute, is Jay bragging that he's going to be on vacation and not...
He is. I told him, you know, he's going to be listening to us all week, right? Right, Jay? You're going to be here all week with us. 11 noon every day, right?
You heard the threat.
He's going to try to disappear. You know, you get an awful lot of vacations. He's been a lot of vacations.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm jealous. All right, what else we got? Pirates of Black Cove, Sycamore, iOS game prepares to set sail. Shiver Me Timbers, a brand new top-down Sea Dog shooter app for iOS coming out soon from Nitro Games. And there's also a trailer release, which is up on GameAndHX.com. All right, so bear with me. Army Hardies, the landlubbers of Nitro Games, in association with Studio
Wait
Mobile.
Wait a minute. Your R didn't sound very
funny. Army Hardies. I was trying not to laugh. All right, so they are proud to announce an exciting ship shooter called Sink 'Em All for iOS devices. I don't hear anything about Android here, people. This action-packed iOS game holds 18 levels and an awesome piratey havoc with cool ammunition such as balls of steel, great balls of fire, fart bomb, homing missiles, and much more. Shoot your way through different enemy ships and bosses in three different chapters, each including 6 levels and beautiful locations. Show the world your heroic deeds in online score. Board your ship and prepare for the best Sea Dog shooter ever created for iOS devices. All right, so what all we got? We got 3 chapters, including 6 levels with waves of bad Black Covian ships. Yeah. Cool ammunition to shoot them into Kingdom Come. Bosses who, among other things, have tentacles. Tentacles? Hey, Snow, you listening? Tentacles. Game Center, show the world that you are the man by dominating the online charts. So, me mateys, prepare for some fast-paced naval combat and equip yourself with some kick-ass special weapons to defeat those wanting to steal your treasure. Why didn't they say your booty? Come on,
because
they want to steal your booty. All right, so I have this up on GameAndHX.com this morning. Go check it out. I'm going to steal your booty.
I am done speaking to Ginger for the rest of the
day. She says that every day.
I
know she loves me.
Today, I got to go.
I love you, boy.
I really got to go. Oh, my God.
Oh, now come on, Corey.
Okay, anyway, moving along.
I be
ignoring Ginger because this is juicy too. Okay.
Ooh, what you got? Close to the figure. Come close.
Viacom is reporting that their earnings have fallen, and they are blaming it on the fight they had with Harmonix.
Ooh.
I have to clear my throat for that one. Okay, so GI.biz is reporting that the latest figures from Viacom show a 65% fall in their net earnings compared to the previous year, a fall, of course, which you're attributing to their dispute with Harmonix. So for quarter one 2012, the company showed net earnings of $212 million for the quarter ending December 31st of last year. This figure showed a $390 million drop from the previous year's $610 million. It was a drop that James W. Barge, not DeBarge, you people from the 80s, W. Barge, chief financial officer, blamed on the recent legal battle with Harmonix. He says, I'd like to note that discontinued operations in the December quarter of this year reflects a $383 million charge related to the earn-out dispute. Ginger, that was a very angry pop I just heard. It's an earn-out dispute with former shareholders of Harmonix, he stated. He said, in this regard, I would note that we have filed a lawsuit seeking to compel consideration of arguments and evidence that we believed were inappropriately excluded from the dispute resolution process. Revenue stood at $3,952 million for the quarter, compared to the $3,828 in the same period last year, and expenses of $2.185 million compared to $2.18 million in 2010. You know what? You all should not have treated Harmonix. Oh, Lord.
See what y'all did? Y'all made her go all, yeah.
Yeah, that went. They were wrong.
They're always wrong. That's what they're good at, is being wrong. Oh, yeah, I went there. You're good at being wrong. All right, so what have I got?
I got my cell phone's blown up. Somebody loves me.
Yes, we do love you.
What? Jay's going to the beach.
I've got names to call you that I can't say on morning air.
Yeah.
I like you, Jay.
Ooh, Jay.
You know he could take us to the beach with you, right?
Yes, he could. Right on his cell phone. See, he's the one who starts talking about all the different ways he listens to us. Oh, that's love. And then he gets to the beach and he's like, whatever. I don't know them.
Yeah. See, you could go to the beach and, like, blare us and have all sorts of other people listening to us. And, you know, people might like us.
That's all right. We're going to find out where he is and keep having pizzas delivered.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes. That sounds good. That sounds good.
They're not going to be paid for it, so don't get all excited, Jay. You
All right. So what do we got? A journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Mr. Leg sprints onto Android handsets and tablets. Breathtaking avant-garde platforming adventure arrives onto Android Marketplace. All right. So James Games, a new independent micro studio, so that means it's just like one person? With a hunger to create fresh new gameplay experiences, today announced the launch of their debut title for Android handset and tablets, Mr. Legs. Their debut title for Android handsets and tablets is now available through Android Marketplace. Mr. Legs is now available through Android Marketplace for 99 cents pounds, Lindens, francs, whatever. It's also 99 cents in the U.S. Australia, $1.46. Canada, $1.57. And whoever DKK is, you get 8.0. Mr. Legs is the best cherry picker in all the deserts of Londonium. It's all thanks to his extraordinary pair of legs, but he needs your help to collect as many cherries as possible to climb the ranks of society. Help him on his magical journey. Make him tall and his speed increases. Make him small and laugh out how slow he goes. But do be careful. It's a dangerous world out there. What with bombs littering the pavement and birds wanting to smash in his face, you can't be too greedy if you want to succeed. Mr. Legs takes a journey through the dangerous desert, the forest, inside a handbag, through an ice cave, under the clouds of precipitation. Those are called rain clouds. A spooky house, a haunted house, and even a strange world through the scores of Mozart. And many more. Start your journey now. Take the first step into this incredible journey with Mr. Legs. All right, I just put this up on GameNatrix.com this morning. Head over there and check it out. Yes, yes. And Corey's muted.
I'm mad.
Oh, why are you mad?
Because I'm going to have to cut Jay.
Jay?
Y'all don't understand. I don't want to cut you.
Jay.
But now I got it.
Trouble, Jay. Jay, why you always got to be in trouble?
Mm-mm-mm. It is a shame. I had to go all Southern then. You heard me?
Mm-mm-mm. Mm-hmm.
Jay. Anyway.
You know, there's not that much beach around here. Wait, no,
we know where he is. We'll discuss it off air, and we got peoples around there, so we'll make sure they find him.
Oh, you in trouble, Jay. We got peoples. Mm. We got peoples. We got peoples everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Pop up out of the sand and just...
we got peoples down there. We're in trouble.
Popping up out of the sand, climbing on your beach, snatching your towels up. Okay, anyway. Namco Bandai, according to Eurogamer, is defending its pre-launch Soul Calibur 5 DLC announcement and has insisted there's plenty on the disc to keep some of you fans happy, or you angry people out there. Soul Calibur 5 DLC announcement made before the launch of the game sparked a debate on Eurogamer about the nature of DLC schedules, with some accusing Namco Bandai of selling content already on the disc. We told y'all it happens. Pre-launch DLC announcements, otherwise known as maybe you should wait for the complete edition to come out when it'll be cheaper, from Eurogamer, said that isn't announcing your DLC content before the release of the game terrible business, asked Kanyurian. He said basically you're saying, look, our game is finished, and we just decided to leave out some parts. You'll pay for the price of the game and the extra for the parts we left out. Three packs of DLC are scheduled to launch in February, each priced at about $1. And 99 euros or 160 Microsoft points in Europe, which will be phased out probably by the time they do this. They include bikinis, wings, and face paints, which you can customize to your characters. No one ever really knows what goes on in development, and I think it's important to show that we're supporting the game and will be post-launch. Namco Director of Marketing and PR explained to Eurogamer. He says, I can tell you that the game is no way limited in content, and the character creation tool will certainly allow you some truly unique styles entering battle. Eurogamer several other of our peoples gave it a Soul Calibur a really good rating I don't think any of us here are Soul Calibur fans, nor did we ask for anything. They're saying looking towards the game's launch, Curtain and Soul Calibur pre-orders have been very good. Points out it's early in 2012. Release is probably a bit of time because you really haven't come up with anybody. But they're made a big mistake. You all are pissed off about the fact that you said it too early. Everybody's wanting to know what's going to happen. Is there going to be another one after this? And they said they really don't know. You never know what the future holds. But this whole business, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to need for you all not to be announcing. It just wasn't a smart idea. I was trying to figure out a way around it where it would sound good. There just really isn't. Even if you know, you can say, we plan on a couple of DLC packs, but you actually told them what's in it. Yeah, just keep your mouth shut next time, people over at Namco Bandai. Just not a smart move. Because it does look like what we've all been saying, and we all know they do this. It's something they left on the disc. They didn't finish, or they decided to grab an ad later. It just doesn't look good. Horace is a smack from mom and dad is behind all. Oh, and Jay told us where he was going.
I saw that. All right, so
Let me write that down. I know exactly who we're sending over by you.
You in trouble, Jay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Zynga's activities generate 12% of Facebook's revenue. According to VentureBeat, Zynga's activities on Facebook accounted for $445 million, which is 12% of the social network's revenue in 2011. This information comes from Facebook's initial public offering filing with the Securities and Exchange Commission today. What the numbers show is that social gaming and Zynga's brand of it, in particular, is an integral part of Facebook's ecosystem. Zynga has more than 235 million monthly active users on Facebook who play Farmville and Cityville for free, but often purchase virtual goods and in-game extras with real money. Around 30% of that revenue goes to Facebook because they charge a transaction fee for the use of its virtual currency. Zynga also generates revenue for Facebook by spending money on ads designed to lure in new players. Of course, the relationship goes both ways, and if Zynga decided to start its own social network or simply do business elsewhere, it would probably hurt the company. Yeah, so see, Facebook, y'all not so smart. Facebook filed an IPO of $5 billion, which is expected to generate $100 billion for the company.
Okay. You said that ended very abruptly. I was like, what happened? Is she gone?
No.
You had to stop? Did it make you angry?
Yeah, I'm just more. It's still one of those. No physical products. Your company is based on popularity. There's eventually going to be somebody new, somebody bigger, somebody more popular that all the cool kids go to. And Facebook, you're going to be screwed.
Yes, because the next Mark Zuckerberg, Bill Gates / Steve Jobs is already right now making the next big thing. And then it's going to come out, and everybody's going to be like, oh.
Look, this one has actual security features that work.
To quote one of the most horrible movies of the 90s, Showgirls, there's always someone younger and faster than you going up the stairs behind you. Just saying. When you get pushed off, don't be surprised. Okay, it's movie quotes day. All right, so I need to update you guys on Kabam! Yes. Again.
Oh, my God. Kabam, again? Really? Kabam.
Social gaming firm Kabam said today it has signed a multi-year lease on a spectacular new office in downtown San Francisco. It's ground zero of the social game industry, for them at least. Kabam's 450 employees will now work together, all close and loving-like, in a 63,000-square-foot office in the same space that currently houses Twitter. Mm-hmm. And is next to the Moscone Convention Center. Kabam! Okay, that's the last one I'm going to say it. I had to get three in. Who is the maker of hardcore social games like The Godfather, Five Families, who I've lost complete interest in as of late. My mafia family is mad at me. They're threatening to put a hit out on me. It also joins other social gaming companies like Zynga, EA, Playfish, Disney Playdom, and Six Waves LOL Apps, and others in setting up in San Francisco, where Kabam already had a smaller office. The new headquarters is at 795 Folsom Street. Kevin Chu, chief executive, said the move will maximize cross-chain collaboration and prepare the company for its next phase of growth. Terms of the lease were not disclosed. Kabam recently acquired independent game studio Studios, adding six new employees. Kabam has raised $125 million, a huge amount of money for a social game publisher, and now has begun to spend it. And they are not solely based on Facebook. Very smart. Zynga might want to pay attention. Kabam was founded in 2007 as a company called Water Cooler and funded by Betfair and Canaan Partners. It has around 20 employees, or it had around 20 employees for a while. As it experimented on Facebook, making sports fan pages and sports games, it had a big hit with its first major role-playing game, Kingdoms of Camelot. You guys know that game? A lot of you play it and harass me daily. Which quickly pulled in millions of users. The game still has 1.5 million monthly users 19 months after its launch. Kabam! I had to do it one more time. Also acquired Wonderhill, a San Francisco game company that developed Dragons of Atlantis. Remember that game also on Facebook, which has become Kabam's most successful game to date. The company has raised multiple rounds of money so far. So I think they're going to do well because not all their games are on Facebook. Because Godfather, I know, is on their site. Although it needs some restructuring. Let me just tell you people over at Kabam, if you're listening, you all need desperately to make that game where you can exchange resources. Because if I go away for a few days, I just don't play. I have, like, infinite resources when I come back. And there'll be somebody that's been playing, you know, trying to build up their particular little area of the city. And they need resources. And they're in my mafia family, but I can't share it with them. I can't send them packages. You know, I can't send them guys. I can't send Guido and Frankie Four Fingers over to help out, you know. So that would be nice if I could do that. And then I'd probably come back. That's why I kind of lost interest. I can't really – there's no – other than we're in a family together, there's no interaction. Somebody like my Frankie Four Fingers reference. Oh, God.
Yeah. I love y'all. I really do. I go, mwah, 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 all of y'all.
Cutting. We got time for one, maybe two more before break. Do it, Ginger.
All right. Frogburst, Frog Adventure by InLogic Software.
Frogburst.
Yes. Play a liquidator of contaminated frogs. Live an adventure at the edge of a contaminated pond and use your logic while you accomplish your task. The new game Frogburst by InLogic Software will make you act like a scientist during solving a rebus that is not an easy one. All right, people, I don't know who wrote this. InLogic presents a new logic game called Frogburst. In the game, the player is situated in the environment at a pond's edge where there are contaminated frogs. The task is to exterminate each frog that has been in contact with toxic chemicals. The frogs may be exterminated using a rare substance called K-chemical, which is at the player's disposal. Each drop of the substance reacts when it comes into contact with the frog, and the frog increases in volume. When the frog is full of chemical substances, it explodes. Using a dropper, the player must make a very good use of each drop of the chemical that is available. The key to success is to get a chain reaction and liquidate all the frogs within reach. I'm going to say Petta's going to be all over this in about 5 minutes. And I happen to like frogs, so I'm kind of grumbly with you over this. I like frogs. You're 30 winches.
I do like frogs, but I have become afraid of them since I have become a grown girl. I don't know what happened because I used to catch them and rub their bellies.
Frogs.
But I do chase them around my yard when I see them. Or I chase them towards the front door because, you know, that's where the mosquitoes and bugs congregate. So I try to chase them towards the front door. And every now and again I'll watch them out the window and go, look, I got frogs on the front porch. Okay, that's too much information. Can y'all tell my vitamins just kicked in? I took them late.
Oh, my God. Oh, hey, Corey. Hey, back away from the vitamins.
That was on yesterday. Right. Three octaves. Anyway, all right, so we got to get over to our non-streaming set, I believe, because all of our clocks on the switchboards are all crazy. One says we have 7, one says we have 3 minutes. I really don't know, but.
Wow. All right, so what are we going to do?
We're going to go ahead and give him some break music. So here you go. Jay, I hope your office is all in shambles. The rest of you, you know where to find us. You know where to find us. GamerNatrix.com, GamerGirlsRadio.com, Second Life, APB. Just type in GamerNatrix somewhere or Ginger in any game. You'll pretty much find us.
Yes. Oh. Yes. If there's a Ginger, and it has to have two I's usually.
Two I's. True. Or two R's for you. Sometimes you do two R's.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And I am working on the most delicious review for you guys, Dead Block. I love this game. I love the zombie take, the way that it goes. I don't know if I told you guys, but I was telling Ginger, it is rather different. And you can get Dead Block on Xbox Live Arcade. You can read the review. I'll be posting it over the weekend, just because I know y'all miss us. over the weekend. But it's a survival game, not like... you know, the Dead Island, Left 4 Dead variety, but you're in a house and you, either by yourself or with three other people, have to try to keep the zombies out of the house or, you know, out of your area as you run through and try to survive. So it is a different
thing. Are there zombies
thing.
On your lawn?
There's zombies on your lawn. They're coming in through every window. And just because
you're killing them with really cute little plants?
No, there's no plants. There's
okay.
chainsaw.
That almost sounds a little bit familiar.
No, there's chainsaw. There's hammer. There's board. You know, board you picked up to hit them with. There's that. What I love is, just because you boarded up a window doesn't mean it stayed boarded up.
Oh.
So you got to constantly keep moving to check to see, you know, where they're, you know, which direction they're coming from. There is a nice little. You'll read the review over the weekend. You'll love it. You haven't picked it up. Unfortunately, for my Xbox peoples, I have the PC version, so we can't play together unless you get the PC version. But it is worth the money. I would probably pick it up on two consoles. I like it that much.
Ooh.
You'll see a good review over the weekend. It is nice. And if you haven't, check out Ginger's review of Unstoppable Gorg, which she was loving as well.
Yes. Unstoppable Gorg. So much fun.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, the little cutscenes before each level, I laughed so hard.
Hotness, right?
Yes, totally hotness. All right, it is my turn again, isn't it?
I think we're on the other side. We were stalling. Well, we got about a minute. So in a minute, we're going to shut off. You can listen to the rest of this later. Otherwise, we'll see the rest of you.
Uh-huh. We'll be around somewhere. I think I feel like killing zombies. So, All right, what do we got? Indie game, the movie Headed to SXSW. I want to see this. Indie game, the movie, had a decent showing at the Sundance Film Festival, and now the documentary about the life and craft of several prominent indie game developers is heading to South by Southwest as a festival favorite. In case you don't know much about it, Indie game, the movie, is the creation of the first-time filmmakers Lizane Pajot and James Swirsky, who follow indie game developers Edmund McMillan and programmer Tommy Ruffin, Super Meat Boy, Phil Fish, Fez, and Jonathan Blow from Braid at key moments in the game development process. SXSW runs from March 9th through 18th in Austin, Texas. Hey, that's kind of close. Badges are not cheap. Holy crap, started at $550 before February 10th. Future screenings as well as more detailed information on the film can be found at indiegamethemovie.com. Do we have any strings we can pull? Because, man.
We could, but really? Wow.
I only want to go for that one, though.
See, that's exactly the point. The strings, they would want us to stay for more than just the one, so we might
let them.
All right, the lovely people at Crytek decided to do something new for us out there in Crytek land. You don't know who Crytek is? Well, they're the people behind Crysis and Far Cry. They're backing a new social gaming network called G-Face. In your G-Face! Created by a small team with big ideas, G-Face promises to deliver high-quality, free-to-play multiplayer games directly to your browser while also offering Facebook-like social network features. This is all that I have been saying since forever. Instead of complaining, you developers, step into the social space and blow these little people that don't know, couldn't game or couldn't design a game to save their life, and show them how it's done. You've been around. You know what to do. Crytek Chief Officer Officer Kavit Yearley is the director of GFACE and says GFACE enables its users to discover and experience entertainment together in real time. We want everybody to play everywhere for free. With Facebook already offering its users a multitude of gaming opportunities, GFACE looks to be setting itself apart by focusing on providing quality multiplayer games first and then building its social network around them, which is how it should be done.
And that is exactly how it should be done. So many people don't seem to care about that.
That's right. VP is reporting that the GFACE, according to the GFACE website, it will be providing a range of gaming experiences from you little casual 2D games right up to the console quality core 3D games. Crytek's first person shooter, Warface, is featured heavily on the site and looks to be one of the banner titles for the service. Warface is powered by CryEngine 3. Yes, I said powered by CryEngine 3, the same game engine used for Crysis and Crysis 2 and upcoming Homefront 2. Game is horrible, but I heard it was beautiful. Beautiful. It promises to deliver some really great visuals that are without an equal in the free play arena. Thank you, Crytek. Do it! Perhaps the most impressive aspect of GFACE service is that all the games will be delivered via cloud-based streaming technology. Much like online market Kai, this means that hardware limitations will not stop you from accessing any of the GFACE games.
Okay, over there?
Yes, they choked me. See, that's how good it is. It also looks to set to allow smartphone and tablet users to join in with the large-scale multiplayer games hot. A promotional image for the service shows three players with different devices teaming up on a multiplayer first-person shooter. Oh, let's call it gaming orgy right there.
She said it, not me. Just remember, people, she said it, not me.
The GFACE website states, because GFACE runs in your browser and is designed for live cross-platform fun, it is independent of hardware and operating systems, so you can play with everyone, anytime, anywhere.
That's so hot. That is so hot.
GFACE's social networking features will allow users to create with GFACE. GFACE. Okay, so it'll allow you users out there to create your own group.
Sorry.
We'll have to tell them they're 11. We haven't even touched it. It'll allow you to create groups, share links and media, and watch live videos together with your friends. And the service will also include video chat facilities. While none of these features are unique, having them all in one place and alongside a streaming free-to-play gaming service makes them very interesting. They've just entered their closed beta testing phase, so it's not even out yet. But you can go over and check out gface.com/closed-beta to get signed up. I know I'm signing up because I lives for that. I would love being out and being able to play something with the Ginger and the Blaster, because we're all very seldom, other than Thursday nights, in the same place at the same time.
I know. We all play such different things, though.
Yes, and I'm a binge gamer, so I could be playing this and two other things while I play with them, get to spend some time with them, and you over there, who wants to play with me?
Yes. So a lot of people who want to play with you, though.
Hey!
What? You're the one who took it that way. I missed it that way, but hey, I didn't say it that way.
Let me tell you what I am absolutely loving. You guys know we've had Ginger for over a year now, and it took a long time for her to get comfortable enough with my teasing to be able to say something back to me. So I tease her more now because I love being comfortable enough to say something like that, because before, I swear I could just see her in my head blushing and like, I don't know if I should say anything. Yes, you can, the Ginger.
It's true. It's very true.
So say what you like.
I say all kinds of things.
Yes, she does. I love it. As long as you don't kill anybody. You all should know this. If you kill somebody, I don't know you.
She had to tell me that a couple of times.
Yes. My one rule, I will love you to the moon and back, but if you kill somebody, let me be specific, not in self-defense.
I don't know you.
And I'm not going to know you again. I don't care what you bring. Not you. If you kill folk.
But.
I'll snatch him and close the door, but I still won't speak to you. Be like, oh, you brought me Manolo Blahnik. Yeah, I just wanted to let you know. Pretty, thanks. Slam. Block, block. Hello, 911. There's a murdering zombie on my lawn. Take care of it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, my go. Study finds anecdotal link to game addiction and shooters MMOs. Oh, according to a new study conducted by the Institute for Special Populations Research in New York, some types of games are more addictive than others and have the potential to create problem gaming habits in a special percentage, in a small percentage of gamers. While the mental health community is not quite ready to make the leap of faith it takes to proclaim that video game addiction is a real mental disorder like gambling and drug addiction, studies like this one are certainly trying to establish causation. The American Psychiatric Association, the APA, recently rejected several proposals to include video game addiction in the next Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, which is going to be published in May of 2013. Luther Elliott, Andrew Golub, Eloise Dunlap, and Jeffrey Rehm from the School of Social Work at Adelphi University in New York, working with the Special Populations Research, surveyed 3,380 adult participants 18 years or older who identified themselves as having played one or more hours of gaming in the last week. The survey gathered information the amount of time played, games participants played in, any problems associated with playing. The research team used GameFAQs.com to sort 2,652 titles identified by participants into 15 mutually exclusive genres: MMORPG, role-playing, action-adventure, first-person shooter, other shooter, sports general, sports other, rhythm, driving, platformer, real-time strategy, other strategy, puzzle, board, card games, gambling, and other. Survey results showed that 5% of respondents 5% of respondents reported moderate to extreme problems game playing. Of those who admitted problem gaming habits, the most cited games were the first-person shooters, action-adventures, role-playing games, and gambling games. See, no MMOs there, people. The most commonly cited games in the problem category included Call of Duty, Grand Theft Auto, World of Warcraft, and various poker titles. I spoke too soon. Perhaps the immersion potential of a first-person perspective, commonly combined with online competition, largely accounts for the higher rates of problem gameplay, the study claims. For action-adventure games, a trend towards non-linear open-world-style environments in which extensive time-consuming exploration is encouraged may create a context for more pervasive experiences of problem gameplay. They say while the researchers admit that the data and their conclusions on it are speculative at the point, they add that it provides important avenues of exploration for future research. I think this is kind of cool. I have met some people, and all right, I will admit I might suffer from a slight, maybe just gaming addiction. Otherwise, why would we be doing this? But
we love it.
I have met some of you people out there. Just step back.
This is true. Those of you who take a 72-hour game and finish it in 5 hours, or you need help.
Yes. Well, I've got some people that I know that they don't do anything besides game. I mean, literally, more than I don't do anything besides game. More than you and I don't do anything besides game.
I do other stuff.
Oh, we do. That's more of what I'm saying. Most people think all we do is game because it's what we do.
No, you can't.
No, we can't. I mean, because there are times when I just got to walk away. I'm like, I'm burnt. I can't look at another pixel.
That happens to me a lot. I have to get up through the day and run to my house, be like, okay, woo, I've been playing that.
I go throw a blanket out in the front yard and just stare at the sky. Just go,
Because
sometimes some of you people make my head hurt.
Right?
I love y'all. I love y'all all. Y'all are all crazy and beautiful and wonderful, but sometimes...
Help. Help is needed. All right, some of you are not going to like this. I know I don't.
Uh-oh, what's going on?
This was actually from yesterday, but we missed it. Like I said, we can't do all of it. We try. My heart hurts. According to Eurogamer, Metro Last Night, the sequel to the post-apocalyptic 2010 shooter Metro 2033... been delayed until 2013. Yeah, guess who has it? THQ. It was scheduled to launch the third quarter of this year, but the publisher made their announcement during that now becoming infamous
conference call and added that 4A Games needed a little more time to polish up the title. THQ CEO Brian Farrell also noted that the game will be a big focus for the company when it does finally arrive on shelves, promising to spend twice as much on marketing the title as it did on the original. I already was ready to play. That trailer, remember we were talking about that earlier this week? I was ready to buy. I was going to pre-order, and I don't pre-order anything but The Sims. And hey, wait a minute, doesn't The Sims come out this month? Oh, I'm sorry, I got all off the topic. Oh, this is not good. Ginger, I'm going to need some help.
Yes, yes, yes. We're all going to need some help.
I can't believe I have to wait a whole... I'm not done.
Are you not done?
Yeah, because that was too short. I'm going to do another one.
Okay.
It's been a lot of short ones. Okay,
the things keep falling in my eyes. It's annoying me.
Oh, top it.
I know, right?
Top it. It hurts Ginger. And how about I'm all that? I'm going
to... The price for being fashionable.
Do you got on fake eyelashes today?
Oh, no. No, no. I've got more than enough eyelashes, thanks.
Yes, you do. She got some long eyelashes. All right, those of you who are parental units out there, fleshy parental units, not those Android ones, will be happy to know that a company called, or actually it's iTunes, Match, they are... Well, see, I'm not sure how to put this because it's good on one hand, but it's not good on the other. Okay, let me just tell you the story because we don't have all the time for me to mull it over. But subscribers to Apple's iTunes Match, a lot of you are reporting that a lot of explicit songs in your library are swapped out for the censored clean versions, which is great. But iTunes Match, which Apple launched back in November.
I don't want the censored version.
Right. They're a music service that gives legal access to any songs currently in your iTunes library. Now, for $25 a year, you can download your songs from Apple's cloud to any device running iOS 5, the iOS 5 mobile operating system, such as iPhones and iPads. But due to a glitch in the iPhone's Match programming, users can only download the non-explicit versions of their songs, which, as I said, in one way is good. If you've got little people that you have not been watching like you're supposed to, you know they're not hearing what they're not supposed to. So, but various tracks from Kanye West, Jay-Z, and Ice Cube have been confirmed as unintentionally clean, according to website Cult of Mac. This is, we're reaching out to Apple for a comment, and we'll update with any new information. The guess is that this particular glitch is likely to affect people with larger collections of rap music. While everyone is only slightly annoyed, still the clean song bug underlines the fact that Apple's iTunes Match iCloud service is most definitely not a true cloud storage solution. If your music library has become child friendly due to iTunes Match, people over at Cult of Mac said please let them know because they're after Apple to fix this. But it's good on one hand, not so much on the other. You know, I just realized that they've been doing a lot of that with music and movies, which I love that they do that. They shoot clean versions of the movies and music so that you don't have to try to censor. Because, yeah, I forget when I have the little people visiting that certain things they shouldn't be seeing. Like, what was it we were watching? Losing Sarah Marshall, which is so raunchy and dirty, and I just put it on there because it's a funny movie. You know, even, you know, some of the jokes are you know, kids would get, and then, you know, parts of the way through it was on FX, and I was thinking, oh my God, I got to turn this off. And then, you know, things that I've never seen before, really, you know, I was like, oh, well, hey, I don't have to change the channel. We can watch it.
Well, and that's interesting that they would change it. I don't know what to think about that.
Well, no, they shot two different scenes. One that was supposed to make it TV friendly, and then there's the real version, which I do have on my DVR. But yeah. I'm thinking I'm going to have to censor because even on the lower strand network cable ones, sometimes it's still a little bad for the kiddies. So I was going to censor, and it turns out I didn't have to. And then I started reading that a lot of companies are doing that when they're shooting. They shoot, you know, a scene two or three different ways, and here's our dirty as it was written scene, and here's the clean version we're going to give to TV and, you know, or for family so that it's okay to watch this with your children if you like.
Yeah.
So I like the idea. Okay, it's time for us to go.
It is time for us to go. Yay, the weekend is here. We can party.
We can party?
We can party.
Okay, then let's do it.
We are Sex Bomb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
I'm hearing voices, hearing voices, the tremor of cold, the feminine undertone, reaching my threshold, seeing if the streets are blind.
later, boys and girls.